cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest. What assembly?
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
It's a long read actually. I think we have about 46 verses there. But I won't want us to, we won't read all of the 46 verses because we'll do a lot of journeys. Hallelujah. We'll do what? We'll travel a lot of times. 1 Kings 18. Can we read verse 1 to 4 together? 1 to go. And it came to pass after many days. Can we read it together? Where I want to go. Verse 2. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab. And there was a sore famine in Samaria. And Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly, for it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophet of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and he hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. It's a long read. This is not actually where we are stopping. This is not the bus stop. Who was Ahab? Ahab was a king. Ahab was a king of Israel at this particular time. What else can we talk about Ahab in this place? Ahab was married to a woman. Remember the name of the name of the wife? Who? He was married to Jezebel. And in verse 1, please go back to verse 1. It says, it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year. You know, if you go to Hebrews, you hear that there was something that happened or something didn't happen for what? How many? What length? 3 years and 6 months. Hallelujah. So it says, the word of the Lord came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go show yourself unto Ahab. God sent a word to Elijah. He said, go and show yourself unto Ahab. I will send rain upon the earth. But you see, if we just dwell here, we will understand where the journey started from. Hallelujah. We won't understand when God is telling Elijah, stand up, go and show yourself to Ahab. For I will send rain upon the head. We won't understand. We still don't understand what has happened before now. Something had happened before here. Hallelujah. Can we back up to chapter 17? 1 Kings 17, 1. You see, when you are approaching the king, it's just like me now. I go and I stand in front of Buhari and I make, you see the kind of utterance. And I want you to embody the body language with which Elijah spoke. Why speaking here? Can we read together? And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitant of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain this year, but according to my word. What effrontery, what audacity. Hallelujah. Can you just imagine the effort, I mean like the guts, the boldness for you to go before king and you say, see, this one is not according to God. According to my own word, there will be no rain or dew. You know, as a president of nation, you know what it means? Your economy is going to collapse. No rain. It means that agriculture cannot, crude oil, nothing. Your economy will go down. So it's just like going to tell Buhari now, and I hope he can, he's hearing me, and I tell him, are you people afraid? Hallelujah. And you know, he went to meet Ahab. And it wasn't just that Ahab was a strong man, the wife was equally a strong woman. That was why I said we should read to verse 4. You saw what the wife did, right? Please. Chapter 18 and verse 3 and 4. Chapter 18 and verse 3 and 4. What did she do? And no. Please give me verse 4. For it was so when Jezebel, what did she do? The prophet of the Lord. The evangelist of the Lord, the man of God. She, you see, the cut off here is not like she off the mic. You know, sometimes you might be thinking like maybe she just off the mic and hello, I can't hear myself. It's not that she off the mic. She slew them, removed their heads. She took 100 prophets. No, sorry, it was so when Jezebel cut off the head of the prophet, she didn't just do one. So imagine if Obadiah, the governor of the house of the king Ahab, said he hid 100 in batches of 50. So imagine how many she would have killed. Can you just play that game? Like, okay, if you are saying you are hiding 100, somebody that is hiding 100, it means that she must have done a damage in hundreds. And you see, at this time, they usually have prophets. If we read down, we won't read it actually, but you hear where Elijah was challenging the prophet of Baal, and he said, come, bring your own prophet. How many prophets did he say? 450 prophets. So she killed prophets of God in 400. And you know, while I was studying there, I knew that it was not God's plan for her to do that. It was never God's plan. Hallelujah. We're going somewhere. It was never God's plan. She had that kind of guts. It wasn't her husband that called for it. It was from the office of the first lady. The office of the first lady cut off the head of the prophets. And Bible says, Obadiah took 100 prophets and he hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. You won't be buried in shame. Amen. Your voice will not be low when it's supposed to be loud. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And so that's why I appreciate the boldness, the kind of boldness with which Elijah came and he said, by my words, there won't be rain for 3.5 years. Hallelujah. And so, let's continue to verse 5. We're going somewhere. And Ahab said unto Obadiah, go into the land and unto all the fountains of water and unto all the brooks. Peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and moose. You know, I told you that it was going to spell economic hardship for them. Eh? Can we see in this verse 5 now what is happening already? He says, peradventure we may find grass to save the horses and moose. You know what they use horses and moose for? They were the ones stealing and doing the agricultural stuff at that time. That we lose not all the beasts. Verse 6. So they divided the land between them to pass through it, and Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way by himself. I want you to follow this story. Verse 7. Please, I need you to be very fast. And so Obadiah was in the way. Behold, Elijah met him. You see what happened in verse 17. The moment Elijah declared the word that by his words there won't be rain, Elijah went into hiding. What did he do? He went into hiding. Nobody knew. Network, nobody could track where he was. He wasn't using internet again. He wasn't doing Facebook. He wasn't doing Instagram. He blocked everything. Shut down the system. Google could not even find him. It says, and so Obadiah was in the way. Behold, Elijah met him and he knew him. Obadiah knew Elijah. He said, and he fell on his face and he said, "Are thou that my Lord Elijah?" Like, eh? The man that we have been looking for. Are you the one? Is this you? Are you? Verse 8. And he answered, "I am he." But he wasn't a man of many words at this moment. He said, "I am the one. Now, go and tell Ahab, behold, Elijah is here." Another effort, like, Ayagbayo. You know when they say, you get mine, though? He said, "What have I seen that thou would deliver thy servant into the hand of Ahab to slay me?" This was Obadiah speaking. "What thing I do you? We have been looking for you for years, for like 3 years. It's because of you that the king sent me on this errand. Now you have appeared unto me and you are telling me to go and tell Ahab that you are here. Elijah is here." You know what was playing through the mind of Obadiah at this moment? He was remembering the heads of the prophet that were chopped off. "You want me to go and tell Ahab without his wife that she has double-edged sword?" He says unto the servant Ahab to slay me. Me? Verse 9. And he said, "What have I..." Verse 10. And the Lord... He says, "As the Lord God lives, there's no nation or kingdom without the Lord has not sent to seek for thee." We have been looking for you. Intel has every nation. If you enter the airport like this, your picture is there, bold. Like the one with you, with afro, and the one with you without afro. The computer IT has already done it. We are looking, you are a wanted man. He said, "There's no nation or kingdom where my Lord," he was referring to Ahab, "has not sent to seek for thee." He didn't just stop there. And when they said he's not there, he took an oath of those kingdoms and nations that if they found thee not, he took an oath like, "If you guys are saying he's not here, and I later come back to find that the guy is here, what I did to those prophets, I will do the same to you." It's a journey. We're going somewhere. He said, "Behold, Elijah is here." I pray for someone again. May your voice not be taken away from you. Yeah. You know what it means to speak, to stand up to speak for righteousness when there's darkness around? You know what it means to say, "I stand for God here. I represent the nation, God, in this system. In a system that is built to fight you." Tell him, go and tell Ahab, Elijah is here. Verse 12. "And it shall come to pass as soon as I am gone from thee." This was Obadiah speaking again. Elijah was not a man of many words at this time. He was straight to business. Like, Obadiah said, "Are you the man of God we have been looking for? We have sent intel to different nations to go and look for you." He said, "Yes." The rest one, he said, "Yes, I am. But go and tell Ahab, I am here." Obadiah responding here. He said, "My Lord, as soon as I leave here," he said, "rapture will happen." He said, "that the spirit of the Lord shall carry thee with the where I do not know." We know you are always teleporting. Like, you don't, you are gone. Bam, you are here again. Offer. He said, "And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find it, he shall slay me." You see, the man is consistent. Slaying, slaying. There's a picture that the devil plays. The devil, see, that's why you have to guard what happens in your presence. He was there when Jezebel was cutting off the heads of those guys. So that picture remained with him. The picture kept playing in his mind. Very bold, audacious. If I still go and tell king that you are here and I come back and I don't meet you here, I know what it means. The king won't think twice. He will slay me. "And he cannot find thee and shall slay me, but I, thy servant..." Ah, this is my CV. "I have been fearing the Lord from my youth. I'm the only son of my mother. I'm the bread. See, if you take this job away, we do not know where food will come from again. The fear inside the governor was speaking. Was it not told, my lord, what I did when Jezebel slew the prophet of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water? You see, I want to make a submission that the kingdom where we live, you see, when God said, have dominion, God wasn't mincing words. God wasn't just playing with his tongue like, have dominion. God already saw into the future. He knew that the devil will always want to upstage you. He knew, God knew from the foundation of the earth that the devil will always try to upstage you. But you know, I felt pity for these guys. It's just similar to the scenario of people. He said the prophet of the Lord, but they had no voice. Like, that was the only thing known about them. There was no power. I don't know. Are you seeing the picture? There was nothing else. Like, let me just leave. Like, this bread and water. And you know, they were in the cave for that period of time. Eating what? Bread and water. I believe that by the time this transaction was happening, they were already looking malnourished. Bread. Just be feeding on bread and water. Bread, morning, afternoon, evening. Bread, water, bread, water. He said, now go tell Elijah. Now go. Tell the Lord, behold, Elijah is here and... No. This is not what I want. Verse 15. And Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely show myself unto him today. I will surely show myself unto him today. Verse 16. I'm not running anymore. I'm not running anymore. Yes, after I spoke that prophetic word, but I'm not running anymore. I'm ready to face Ahab now. He was saying, my fear. I'm ready to confront my fear. I'm ready to confront everything that has haunted me in years past. I'm ready to appear before you now. He had been on the run. But he said, today I'm appearing before Ahab. I'm going somewhere. We're still coming back to this. Verse 17. No, verse 16, please. So Ahab went to meet Ahab, and he told him. And Ahab went to meet Elijah. I declare what has been running from you begins to run from you. You didn't get that? What you have been running away from begins to run away from you. Ahab had been looking for him for years. He had been looking for him for years. But you see, now the Bible says in Proverbs, it said, seest thou a man diligent in his word, in his works, or in his business, he will do what? He will stand before kings and not mere men. Because of the kind of audacity this man controlled, normally you should be the one to go and meet the king. Abi? Elijah should be the one to go and meet the king. He sent the governor back. He said, go and meet him. Go and tell him. The king was the one who came back and met him. I'm feeling so strongly led to prophesy to someone. You've been applying to this company and it looks like they are not looking in your direction. I declare by the hand of God that they begin to look for you. In the name of Jesus. You've been working tirelessly. You have been contacting many people, different people in that organization, and nothing is coming forth. I declare from today, they begin to look for you. In the name of Jesus. What he was running away from, saw him, came to meet him. Now he didn't have to even stress or sweat. Like, I'm here. Hallelujah. Ha 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 ha. Now, moving away from what we have just established now, after all of that happened, a transaction happened, or a new thing happened. Okay, so when Elijah, verse 18 now, right? He said, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, "Are thou that one that troubles Israel? Are you the one, are you the problem that Israel has?" And he answered and he said, "I have not troubled Israel, but you are the one troubling Israel and your father's house, in that you are forsaking the commandment of the Lord and thou hast followed Balaam." Balaam was a kind of god. He said, "You are the one following Balaam." And afterwards, I want to save us the stress of reading through. What happened eventually was that they met and there was a challenge or a contest. There was a contest. What was the contest? The children of Israel at this moment, their heart had swayed, had followed Baal. They were no longer looking for God, the God of Israel. And you see it in the context of what Elijah had to see later on. And he said, "Tell the prophet of Baal to come. 450 of them, let them come with two bullocks or with two goats or two cows, whatever you want to call it. And let's test which God." He said, "Whichever God answers by fire, let him be God." Hallelujah. And so what happened afterwards was that they came, they dressed the altar, began to put wood, stone, arrange the altar, dressed it and all of that. And from morning, they began to call upon God, their God. You know, at some point, he was even mocking them. Like, maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe he's on a journey. Call him, like cry out loud and all of that, you know. And nothing was forthcoming. Bible records that they began to pierce themselves, to cut themselves. They began to cut themselves and blood was gushing out of them, like, you know, they did all of that. And eventually, I saw something very strategic. You must know your point of strength. Hallelujah. You must know your what? Your point of strength. And you must play from your strategic position. They started from morning. I'm not saying this to say that you can't pray anytime or you can't call on God anytime. I just saw something that drew my attention and I felt like it's something that we should pinpoint on. You know, they started calling upon God from morning. And Bible says when it was time for the evening sacrifice. Can you help me look for that, please? Verse 29. It says, "And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the evening of the prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near and said unto him, and he said, and unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down." He didn't just do it casually. He had to repair and adjust the altar. But while he was adjusting the altar, it was time for something. It was time for the evening sacrifice. And customarily, it is time where all Israelites, a prayer time, that they offer sacrifice of, you know, unto the Lord. So it was important. I saw this and it was very important. You know, earlier in the year, Pastor was talking about operating on the watches. Hallelujah. Operating on the watches. So he saw a window. He saw that, okay, activities at this time will be increased. The activities of heaven will be increased, and he seized that opportunity. And this is not a doctrine. I'm just saying I saw something and it just caught my attention. For Bible, for scripture to have included that in there, it meant something. And you know, they called and fire came down and all of that. The point of interest for me, can we still go down to verse 36 to 40? Can we read together? One to go. Verse 36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. What Elijah was doing at this moment was he was invoking covenants. You know, if you read it, you'll be hearing Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He was invoking covenant. He was remembering the covenant that God had with Abraham. He was invoking the covenant that God had with Isaac. He was invoking the covenant that God had with Israel. Remember, from this scripture, he didn't even say Jacob. He said Israel. Israel. And you see, we are looking at two kinds of prayer in this text that we are studying. And that's why I said it's a journey. And you remember the song we sang earlier? I said, your goodness, what? Yesterday. What he was doing was he was recounting the goodness of God to Abraham. And I'm giving you a secret here that whenever a situation that is beyond you meets you, remember what God did in time past. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Israel. Let it be known this day that thou art God. You know what he was doing? He was dethroning Baal. And that I am your servant. I have done all of these things at your word. At your word. At your word. Verse 37, he said, hear me, Lord. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God and thou hast turned their heart back again. He said, then, verse 38. Can somebody say then? Then. What happened? The fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering. And the wood and the stones and the dust licked up the water that was in the trench. In verse 36, he was praying. In verse 37, what was he doing? He was still praying. In verse 38, what happened? Answer came. Your answer is coming this morning. Yeah. I changed it. Your answer has come this morning. Yeah. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. Bam! Fire came. Fire came and consumed. There's something interesting I will touch light on here. He said that the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering, the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. Repentance. You see, what God is going to do with your life will bring men back to God. You didn't hear that? You didn't hear that? What God will do with your life will cause repentance in the heart of many. In the name of Jesus. He said they fell to their faces. When they saw that God answered by fire, they fell to the ground. And they said, the Lord. Now look at their confession. Their confession had changed. What was their confession? I mean, what became of their confession? I said, the Lord. He is the God. He didn't say he's a God. They didn't say he's a God. Definite article there. Definite. It was one man who was proclaiming this before. It was Elijah who was saying, you are the God. Let them know that you are the God of Israel. Now he became something of the community. You see, what I'm sensing that the Lord is going to do with your life, it won't just be evident to one person. Everybody will see it. It became the chorus. It became the anthem of the community. He said, the Lord
He is the God. The Lord is the God. You see, for a Jewish person to repeat something twice, to emphasize something twice, it means it's of importance. Hallelujah. Verse 40. Very interesting story. And Elijah said unto them, take the prophet. I want us to read it together. Take the prophet of Baal. Let none one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them into the brook Kishon and slew them. Who first did it? Who is doing it now? First to do no the pain. No. Huh? First to do no the what? You know the pain. I prophesy to someone. You see, they said you only had, or you have one shirt. Huh? They said you don't even have a house. Huh? They said all manner of things to you. I don't know, maybe you are seeing what is happening here. They've said all manner of things to you. And, you know, while I was studying this, there was a prophetic word God gave me. There's someone here, what belonged to your father, they took it from you, and they used it to train their own children to school. There's someone in this meeting this morning, what belonged to your father, an inheritance that was meant for your father, they took it. Eh? They sold it or did business enterprise with it, made money from it, and they used it to send their own children to schools, good schools. Now, you and their children, if you stand, when you are together, you don't level up with those children. Huh? You don't look, I mean, like, it's just like somebody, I'm not downgrading education in Nigeria, but I'm saying somebody went to Harvard. Huh? And you went to, eh? Give me one school that has plenty long sentence, Kurumo Jeje, and it looks like they are more at advantage than you. Please listen. It looks that they are more at advantage than you. God is saying that he's going to repay you back. There's going to be repayment in the name of Jesus, and it will be in full. Everything that the devil has taken from you, there will be a repayment. Amen. And it will be in double fold. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jezebel was the first that slew. And I hope you know that what Elijah did here was not murder. It's not doctrine. I'm just telling you that it wasn't murder. He slew them, brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. He slew every one of them. He slew every one of them there. That's verse 40, right? Verse 41. Now, the next passages we'll be reading are my passages of interest. That's where the message for this morning is actually centered. Verse 41. And after all of that had happened, now there's still someone. You see, how God is going to repay them. Now God gave me a method, or the formula God is going to use to repay your enemy. Eh? In fact, they told you to pull that shirt. It wasn't meant for you. Eh? You now go back with truckload of clothes. You give to them. You are not seeing the picture. They thought you can never amount to anything, or you will never have. But I'm saying that you are going. They chased you out of the house, but you are building houses for them. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get up. It appeared to me like they had become paddy-paddy, like, ah. You are no longer wanted. Oh, you are the happening guy now. Like, can we even do selfie together? Hallelujah. He said, get up. Eat and drink. Elijah, when did you become the advisor or the nutritionist or the chef of the house? For there is a sound of abundance of rain. There is a sound of abundance of rain. You see, all of these detours we had to take. And I say this to you also. There are some things that are, some events have been playing out in your life. At some bus stop, you experience some things. At some bus stop, there will be traffic. You get to other bus stop, there will be no traffic. It will be like you just move like, ah. You get to another bus stop thinking that the last bus stop, because there was no traffic, you will not meet traffic. You meet traffic and all of that. Is someone seeing what I'm saying? It happens like today there is victory. Tomorrow it appears like you are stuck. You move again, it appears like you are stuck. There is a sound of abundance of rain. Say, get up. Eat, drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Verse 42. And Ahab went up to eat and drink. You know why the king could eat and drink now? He saw the answer to his problems. You are not seeing what I'm saying. It was this same guy that said there will be no rain. It is this same guy that the distance between the two of us is less than, I mean, like our shoulder, we are, how do they, shoulder to shoulder. Like, if he says go and eat, it means go and eat. In my heart, it's somehow to like, Ahab was beginning to behave. Your enemies will behave. He was beginning to cooperate. Like, he said, Ahab went up to, he said, and Ahab went up to eat and drink. And Elijah went up to them. He went where? He went where? Mount Carmel. He went to the top of the mountain. And you know, one of the things that struck me while I saw this, I said most times, what happens is that pastor gives a prophetic word. You go and eat, but pastor goes back to pray. I don't know, maybe I see what I'm saying there. A lot of times you receive prophecy. The next thing that we do, you just get home like this, you just off your jacket like, pastor has prophesied, he said there's a sound of abundance of rain. In fact, that 1,000 in your account that you could not spend before, like, waiting. There's a prophecy already, Jare. Mega Chicken, where are you? Chicken Republic, where are you? You just enter there and you begin to order. Meanwhile, the man of God who released that prophetic word, where did he go to? Where did he go to? He went to the mountain. He went to the mountain. And you see this, that it's a picture of many of us. A lot of times we receive prophetic word. Yes, it was the man of God that told him to go and eat. Well, you know, sometimes you need to borrow yourself, some sense. He didn't even call Elijah to come and eat. You see how stingy he was. He didn't even call him to come and eat. But it was Elijah who told him, go and eat, go and drink. It calls for celebration. And he went, and the moment he was ordering his chef, those intercontinental that we have not done in like, platter, you begin to order for all of those things from yellow chilies, give me names now. Ocean baskets, he just began to make orders. Jevniks. Hallelujah. The king began to order, but the man of God went to the mountain. And this was his posture. He cast himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees. I can't do it. I don't know how. You know what he did? This place was touching here. This place was touching here. He began to pray. How did I know that he began to pray? Hebrews chapter. Let's open to Hebrews. Sorry, not Hebrews. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. And verse 18. James 5, 18. James 5, 18. One, two, go. Can we read it together? Sorry. Verse 17. Give us 17 or 16. Is it 16? 16. It says, confess your fault one to another and pray one for another that he may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He still didn't talk about nothing hinting Elijah in this place. Right? Nothing had said it was Elijah. Verse 17. Elias was a... Can we read together, please? Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we have. Hold on. The way the king was hungry was the way Elijah too was hungry. Hallelujah. So when he says Elijah was a man subject to like passions, I mean like the way you thirst for water, Elijah too. You are drinking wine, Elijah too needed wine. But can we continue? Can we echo it louder? He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. But you know that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. This is likened to 1 Kings 17:1. Something, right? Elijah, the Tishbite from the inhabitant of Gilead, and he said, by my word, there will be no rain and all of that. The moment he declared that, what scripture in James 5 is that it wasn't like he was saying it just words, he was praying. You know, if you read 1 Kings 17:1, you would think he was just having a conversation, just we are just conversing. But James 5:17 is now bringing it to the fore for us. That what appeared to be like it was just a mere talk, what he was actually doing was, he was doing what? He was praying earnestly that it might not rain. Yeah, I said it too. But more than just saying it, there was an action that was backing up what he had said. He was praying. That was his posture. Now, so that first part is likened to 17:1, right? We agree, right? The second part, it says, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Verse 19. Where can we liken this to now? Chapter 18 and verse. And he prayed again. And he prayed again. You see, I feel like a lot of things have been hidden in this James 5:18. So let's go back. We're coming, but please just wait. Let's go back to 1840 what now? Eh? No, not 41. He cast himself down upon what? The earth, and he put his face between his knees. He was praying. 43, he was praying. And he said to his servants, go up now. Look towards where? Towards where? And I'm asking myself, why would he say the sea? Science taught us that where you have water, clouds will gather more, faster. Eh? Rain formation. People who did, is it chemistry? In chemistry, rain formation, Abi. Where you have water, body of water, it will travel, turn to vapor, some reactions will happen like that, then clouds will begin to. So he was directing the sight of the servant to the right place. Somebody is not seeing it yet. What was he doing? He was directing the sight of it. He said, go. Don't just look aimlessly. What should he do? Look towards the sea. And he went up and he looked and said, there is nothing. You know, sometimes you do vigils upon vigils upon vigils upon vigils upon vigils, and it looks as though nothing is happening. You understand what I'm saying? Like the call for fast, you are the first to say, in fact, me, I won't even wait till tomorrow. I start my fast. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like you just start your fast like that, like You just start, you just continue like that, like, we'll continue. And a lot of these things you are doing, and it appears in the physical. Somehow, I think the servant was short-sighted. Or he didn't know. And that's what happens to a lot of us, that a lot of times we are praying, and it's in the on the outside, it looks like nothing is happening. Pastor has given prophetic words. Nothing is happening on the outside. But science says, before you see rain, there are some things that will happen first. I think that's where we have the word precipitation. Abi? Evaporation, condensation, pouring down of water from the clouds down. He didn't know that the clouds had already started to gather the moment the man of God began to pray. So I'm saying to someone here today, there's a prophecy that you've been worrying with, and it looks like nothing is coming forth. I came to tell you this morning that hold on, don't give up on God yet. Don't give up on God yet. Somebody's listening online. There's a prophecy. You've been like, I've received countless prophecies, and it appears like nothing. There's no physical movement to attest to what God is doing in my inside, in the secret place. Hold on. And you see why I'm saying you should hold on here. And he said to his servant, go up, look towards the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again. Perseverance. What did I say? Perseverance in the place of prayer. You see, these things, you don't learn them by impartation. You learn them by experience. You learn them by what? You learn them by, they don't come by impartation. They come by experience, the school of the Spirit. If you have journeyed with God, you know that God is not wait and get. Like the way we do 5 minute, 1 minute coffee, instant passport. God is not like that. There are times that you say God, and before you even say G, he has answered. But a lot of times, when you are a student of the Spirit, you know that God is not that instant coffee. That is the process it takes sons through to mature them. So while you are saying that nothing, there is nothing like the servant, he was learned. He said, go again. I believe that scripture just shortened it. That guy kept coming, and Elijah was telling him, go again. He kept coming back to the place of prayer, and Elijah told him, go again. Hallelujah. Perseverance in the place of prayer. There's a song coming to my spirit. God is able to do just what he says he will do. Is God not fulfill every promise to you? Don't give up on God, 'cause he won't give up on you. He's able. Told him 7 times, go again, go again, go again, go again. And this is what I'm hearing. Somebody has said, I'm no longer praying. God is saying, go back to that place. I'm no longer fasting. Everybody is even saying I'm embarrassing, like nothing is happening in my... I'm reducing. Go back again. Everybody is saying, you are waiting on God. You are just wasting your time. You better come and join us. Come and chill with the big boys. Come and... God is saying, go back again. 7 times. Perseverance. Verse 44. And it came to pass at the 7th time. Someone, if you are shouting hallelujah, can you echo it louder? God will never fail. He can never fail. Not on you. He won't start on you. See, what assures me that God can never fail? If God would fail, he would have failed the day Jesus was crucified, buried in the tomb. But if he didn't fail, he can't fail on your matter. And it came to pass at the 7th time. Can we read it? That he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. Where did he tell him to look at the sea? You see, that's why it's important for you to follow instructions. If he had looked somewhere else, he would not see the little cloud. You know what it means, little? Another word for little. Tiny. Insignificant. But because the master told him, look towards the sea, he said, and behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. I believe that was the hand of God. Allah of Ogoro is turning things around. Hey. A little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. Hallelujah. And he said, go and say to Ahab, prepare your chariots and get thee down. The time for banquet is over. You know, he sent the king on an errand to go and be feasting. Now the feasting time is over. It's time for answers now. Go and say unto Ahab, prepare your chariot and get thee down. Come down from that high table you are sitting on. And get thee down that the rain stop you not. There is a sound of abundance of rain. Get thee down that the rain you have been asking for, let it not stop you. Get thee down that the rain stop thee not. Verse 45. And it came to pass in the meanwhile, while he was still speaking, that the heaven was black. Initially it was arise, there was a little cloud, tiny. Meanwhile, while he was still speaking, Elijah was still on that Mount Carmel. That the heaven was black with clouds and wind. And there was a great rain. Another translation says, give me another translation. Another translation, please. That is... I, there was downpour. You know, you will be like, it hasn't rained for like 3 years. The first rain should come gradually. Do you understand what I'm saying? Meanwhile, he's violating that and it's coming torrentially. You know, there are some rain that you can use umbrella to. This kind of rain, the kind of blessing is that God is preparing to do for you. The kind of blessing that God is preparing, the kind of wonder that God is making out of your life. Umbrella cannot stop. He said, there was wind. It didn't just rain, there was wind. You know those kind of rain, windy. They remove roofs. In a little while, the sky grew dark with clouds. And you know, if you don't understand, you'll feel like I'm at that bus stop again. Nothing is working. When you see cloudiness around, you'll be like, there's no rain. Which one is dark cloud again? The Bible says, not just dark clouds. It came with wind this time around. And you know what wind signifies? You know what it signifies? It's an emblem of the spirits. Hallelujah. So he came, the whole heaven moved this time around that the earth could not contain. So the interpretation upon earth was that there was wind. But it wasn't just wind. There was high angelic activity going on around that place at that moment. And there was a downpour. And here God is chariot and went to Jezreel. Verse 46, the last verse. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he gathered up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance. Give me that former translation. The hand of the Lord is coming upon you for acceleration. What took people 12 years to get? What took people 30 years to do? You know, some people will have a building project and it will take them the lifetime that they don't even get to live in that house. It will take you 1 year. 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 Certification that people struggle to write at once to pass. You will write it once. You are writing it once. You are writing it once. In the name of Jesus. Let me tell you a story. I didn't write JAMB when I was supposed to write JAMB. You know why? It was in that year that they say JAMB used to jam people. So I felt like, let me just face WAEC, do WAEC and NECO, and the next year I will write. So some of my other classmates who... A lot of my classmates wrote. It was in that time, if you write JAMB, you get 180. I have people who can testify to that here, right? Like, if you write JAMB and you get 180, like, it was in the years where you write JAMB, you'll be getting 130, 132, and all of that. They wrote JAMB 253, 280, 280. They got high scores like that. In a way, I became jealous. Like, why didn't I write JAMB? Well, you see, they wrote the JAMB. A lot of them didn't get admission eventually. As I was writing my JAMB form, and it was a Muslim guy who told me this. He's in Turkey now, my very good friend. He said when he picked up, he wasn't the best in class. He wasn't the best of the best. He wasn't even a prefect. He wasn't, like, if you're counting 1 to 50, he wasn't there. But he told me, he said the moment he bought his JAMB form, that year that me, I didn't write. He said he woke up around 12. And he began to do adua. You know, they call it adua. Like, we call it adura. The adua. And he said he won't write JAMB twice. Sincerely speaking, this guy got admission to ABU to study electrical engineering. But because we were friends, he now told me, like, my other name, like if you are writing jam. He just told me. In my the Christian in me, like an unbeliever understands this principle. So I picked up jam form that year, and I wrote, and I did well. The long and short of it, I only wrote jam once. You see, when I said the goodness of God yesterday can give you confidence for today, can give you strength for today, it is based on what God did that year with my life that I said I want to write jam for once. So that's why I'm saying that whatever is taking people 5 years to complete, it will take you just one shot in the name of Jesus. Can we be on our feet? I want to just pray. There are a lot of things I wrote down here. I have like 8 pages here. But I believe that God decided to come this way. If you know me very well, I like to do number 1, number 2, number 3. I have 6 points here. But God didn't even take this direction. And I believe that this service is for someone, that the Lord is changing the story of someone in this place today. I declare to you, there's a sound of an abundance of rain upon your life. Abundance of rain, torrential rain, something you can't handle alone. In the name of Jesus. Something that, you see, when you are not big, you'll be thinking of business name. But when you are big, you'll be thinking of corporation. I don't know, maybe somebody is saying what I'm saying. You know, Ade and Sons is a one-man business. But when what God is giving you is bigger than one-man business, you know that this turns to a call. You have directors. That's what I'm seeing. That what you have in that your hand, you have been trusting God for. God is saying that we now open the borders of nations to you. In the name of Jesus. Father, we bless you this morning. Thank you because you have changed things. You have re-engineered things for our favor, for our good this morning. Thank you because we can feel this rain. We can feel this rain. No more lack. No more lack. No more lack. You are no longer grumbling. In the name of Jesus. See, someone here, you've been living from hand to mouth. It ends today. You've been living from hand to mouth. Salary, salary. You have been living from hand to mouth. Nothing left. Hand to mouth. Nothing left. Hand to mouth. It ends today. In the name of Jesus. Come on, can we go ahead and bless the name of the Lord this morning? Are you grateful this morning? Are you grateful? Are you grateful? Are you grateful? Are you grateful this moment? Are you grateful? Your goodness yesterday gives me joy for today. Yes, oh. Your goodness yesterday gives me joy.